الهي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اذ قال يوسف لابيه يا ابتي اني رايت احد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رايتهم لي ساجدين. When Yusuf said to his father, Father, I saw 11 planets and the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrating themselves before me. Now we've reached the stage in the story, in the surah, where the actual story of Hazrat Yusuf begins. From now on, the story begins. So here, Hazrat Yusuf is speaking to his father and explaining to him what he's seen in the dream. That's okay. We're good? So he's speaking to his father and he's explaining to him what he's seen in his dream. And Allama Tabatabai stops right there and he notices something about the way he addresses his father. He says over here, he didn't call his father Ya'qub. Ya'qub, I saw this in my dream. He says, Ya Abati. And he says that shows the love of Hazrat Yusuf for his father. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, inshallah, about love, about respect, about adab, especially when it comes to dealing with our parents, to make sure that we as Muslims and as soldiers of the Mahdi are dealing with our parents and giving them those due rights that they have over us. Not that, God forbid, we've been fooled into thinking, oh, well, we're pious or we're righteous or we're practicing or whatever, and it's not necessary for me to observe these details. The details are actually what's going to get us where we need to go, making sure that we're carrying out all of our responsibilities in a comprehensive fashion. But before I get into that part of the discussion about how we should be with our parents, I'd like to share a note with you brothers and sisters, specifically because we are trying to be among the elite soldiers of the Imam. I talked about impeccable akhlaq, and that's what we're going to mention, that Hazrat Yusuf salamullah alayhi had, akhlaq, adab, mahabba, love, all of these things. But what I want to talk about right now is something that hits home a little bit more, make it a little bit more practical. For practicing Muslims, active youth, community members who are helping out at the Islamic Center, the reality is that you're a little bit more under the microscope than others. You're held to a higher expectation. The community members look at you differently than they do others. The same is true for ulama, that if an alim, for instance, is to do a particular action, even one that you might regard as acceptable for yourselves, even you as practicing members, although you know that it's not haram, you say that, you know, as an alim, you should do a little bit more. You should behave in a proper, in an appropriate way. That's also true for the rest of us. That if we are people who are soldiers of the Imam, we're more active in the community, we're looking out for the cause of the Imam, trying to act in such a way that we hasten the reappearance of our Imam, then our responsibility is greater than others. Now it gets even tougher. If we are people who've been able to have the tawfiq of understanding the message of Imam Khomeini and the leader, not only that we're active in practicing, and that's wonderful, in these times when people are going further from religion, just the fact that I'm praying and fasting, not to big ourselves up and think, oh, I'm just the greatest person on the face of the earth. This is a reality that's out there. We have hadith that say that the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, ajal farajahum. He told his companions, he said that how much I miss my brothers. And the companions said, are we your brothers? He said, no, you're not my brothers, you're my companions, you're my ashab. He said, my brothers are going to come in a later time. They're going to believe in me although they've never seen me. They're going to read about me and accept the faith. And he says, the actions of those individuals is worth 50 of yours. It's much more difficult to maintain the faith, hold firm, remain on the principles of Islam now in the time of the ghaibah. The Imam is not here with us. The enemy wants to get us away from the religion. Our own nafs can be drawn in by the dunya. It's more difficult to hold on. So that's wonderful if we see, and again, because we're trying to look at it from an akhlaqi point of view, not to pat ourselves on the back and tell ourselves, yes, alhamdulillah, I'm so great, I might as well be Salman Farsi. No, we're not doing that for ourselves. But when we look at other believers, the respect we have for others, that somebody else is able to hold fast and hold on to the faith and the occultation. They're praying, they're fasting. We have a lot of respect for these individuals. But what I'm saying is something even more. For those who, in addition to doing that, have also understood the message of Imam Khomeini and the leader. So now these individuals realize that it's necessary to be socially aware of the affairs of the ummah. They're confident in Islam and Quran and Sunnah. They don't back down or bow down to the West. They've also been able to solve the issue of how to deal with marja'iyya and wilaya at the same time. Marja'iyya and wilaya. Sometimes Muslims are not able to handle them either. This is terrible, but it happens. Sometimes you've had people who've understood that message of Imam Khomeini, understand the importance of wilaya, and then these individuals that make a terrible mistake, in order to promote wilaya, they start to talk about other maraja and bring them down and insult them and say things about them. And that's really terrible. In order to promote the leader, for instance, let me attack other maraja, let me say they're not as good, let me attack the followers, committing great crimes, separating the ummah, attacking people, maraja, the representatives of imam. Very terrible. Some people don't go that way, they go the other way. I haven't understood how marja'iyya and wilaya work hand in hand, so I think if anybody talks about the leader or wilaya, that's belittling my marja. I haven't understood how to work out the two, how these two don't conflict with one another, how they support one another. The support that the leader has for all of the maraja and vice versa. But there's some people who've understood that. They've transcended that. They've moved beyond that. They understand that in personal issues, I follow my maraja of taqlid and whoever else follows their maraja. There's no knocking on it, no attacking anybody. Alhamdulillah, you're making taqlid to whoever you make taqlid to. Wonderful, great. In addition to that, they've also understood that when it comes to the affairs of the ummah and our responsibility to the world, we look in one direction. We make taqlid in our personal issues. His taqlid might be slightly different than her taqlid, might be slightly from the third person. But when it comes to those issues which affect the ummah, I look in one direction. So for those individuals who Allah has given the tawfiq to understand that, these individuals have even more responsibility. These individuals have more responsibility. If Allah has given you that tawfiq, thank Allah. Pray that God doesn't take that away from you. But if you've been given that tawfiq, there's also more of an expectation. More that you're one of the soldiers now, one of the elite. What do you have to do? One of the things that we have to do is to deal with others with akhlaq. And I mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but I realized I hadn't done justice to the topic. Let me recite a hadith for you. This is from Imam Ali. The concept, though, is that now, as a person who's practicing, who's realized the importance of Islam, who's holding fast, who's looking for that guidance when it comes to the grand issues of Islam, I also have to bring others to the faith and deal with other believers, even those who may not agree with everything I agree with akhlaq. And I'm supposed to guide others through my actions before my words. It's not just enough that theoretically I've solved these issues. No, I've got to guide others with my actions. This is now from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Man nasaba nafsahu lin-nasi imama. Whoever sets himself up as a leader of men, fa'alayhi an yabda'a bita'limi nafsihi qabla ta'limi ghayrihi. Before I'm supposed to start teaching others, training others, promoting issues, although I'm supposed to do that, I'm supposed to stand up for my principles, before that, my action should speak for themselves. My akhlaq and my behavior should be impeccable. That should be calling people to the way of Allah. The Imam continues, وَلْيَكُنْ تَعْدِيبُهُ بِسِيرَتِهِ قَبْلَ تَعْدِيبِهِ بِلِسَانِهِ. That your training of others, influencing others, inviting others to the way of Allah should be with your seerah, with your actions, with your behavior, before it's with your words. Again, there's a responsibility to do all things. This is one of those hadith that we have to drill into our heads, repeat so many times for ourselves that it becomes part and parcel of our character. Sometimes we find, particularly amongst those who have the tawfiq to have understood all three levels, that sometimes either we're weak in akhlaq and strong on principles, or strong on principles and weak in akhlaq. Sometimes you find amongst practicing Muslims, arrogance, mistreatment of others, not paying attention to people, not exactly the akhlaq of the Prophet of Allah. And that's what we want. Our akhlaq needs to be impeccable. I gave the example the other day of the field Muslim and the house Muslim. So just because I'm a field Muslim and I'm not intimidated by the West doesn't mean that I go over and run roughshod over others. You haven't understood, get out of my way. God forbid that I'm like that. We have the example of the Prophet of Allah and his mercy and his kindness. And the ayat of Quran says that if he was coarse and harsh, even the Prophet of God, people would have scattered from around him. Verse of Quran. So akhlaq and our seerah, our method of dealing with others, has to be excellent. One time, a group of the Shia came to Imam Sadiq, salamullah alayh. They had come from Kufa, and the Imam was in Medina. They came to visit the Imam, to speak to the Imam, and they started to benefit from the Imam. But eventually, you're in Kufa, you don't live in Medina, you've got to go. They asked the Imam for some advice. What advice do you give us? The Imam used these words. I'm going to translate them for you. أَنْتَكُونُ لَنَا دُعَاتًا صَامِتِينَ. I want you to invite others with us, صَامِتِينَ, while you're silent. Imam, but isn't that a contradiction in terms? How can I be silent and invite to you? Through your actions, through your prayers, through your worship, through your recitation of the Holy Quran, those good deeds, and through your akhlaq. Your akhlaq has to be extraordinary in order to be one of the elite soldiers of the Imam. If you are like that, if you're patient and generous to everybody, chivalrous, a man or a woman of your word, polite, you'll be dangerous for the cause in a good way. One thing we should keep in mind, this is like an inside secret, but you know, it's okay, I'll share it with you guys. If you have really nice akhlaq, impeccable akhlaq, Islamic akhlaq, and you treat people really nicely, then you'll be dangerous even if you serve a bad cause. Okay? I'm going to give you an example, but before I give you the example, there's a couple of things we want to keep in mind. We want to remember that just having good akhlaq doesn't mean we compromise our principles. I said that once, but I'm saying it again. It doesn't mean, oh, I want to have good akhlaq, so then when it comes to the principles which I stand firm on and I believe, I compromise those. We're not going to get anywhere by compromising our principles. We've got to stick firm to the principles, but be charming. Let me give you an example. This happened in the Islamic Revolution, in the Islamic Republic of Iran before the revolution. Okay, and it might make your blood boil a little bit, but it's okay. Okay? What happens when others use Islamic akhlaq? Okay? This Alim Rouhani, he was driving a car, right? Secondhand car. Didn't really know how to drive the car. Him and some other brothers, apparently, they were also from the Hausa, driving this car, secondhand car, before the revolution in the Islamic Republic of Iran. First time with a car, you're not that experienced. The car runs out. The car ends up stopping on the side of the road. When it stops on the side of the road, how do we get it to start again? Everybody getting out the car, checking, looking. What's happening? We don't know anything. He says, after that, a group of young ladies drove up. Drove up, mini skirts, makeup on, back at before the revolution. These young women get out of the car. Is there anything we can do to help you? The scholar and the other guys from the Hausa, not all of them, I don't think all of them were Mu'ammam, but they're sitting there. So she gets in the car, she's going to help him drive the car. I don't know how, right? I just bought the car. She gets in the car, she's trying to work it. She realizes there's no gas in the car. So she goes back to her expensive, nice car, and there wasn't a container to get the gas out, so she has to siphon some gas from her car, so with lipstick on, gets a little tube or whatever, put it into a container, come back, and then put it in the car of the Rouhani. Okay? Since she starts the car, okay, alhamdulillah. So now we're ready to go. So the alim is, sorry, I really apologize. Thank you for coming to our assistance and helping us. And the woman says a sentence which is really surprising. She said, yes, it's our religious obligation. What? Religious obligation? You dress like this and religious obligation? She said, yes, we're supposed to do that. And she gives the scholar a card, yes, we have this park or whatever, this little area. Please come by. If you need anything, we're at your service. So the alims go, okay? I know you're getting angry. The alims go. They send one guy who wasn't Mu'ammam. One guy who wasn't Mu'ammam to go and see, who are these people? Come over and do that, stop in the middle. They go to see these individuals. When they go to see them, that guy, let's say his name is Ridha, right? Ridha goes, well, Ridha's nowhere to be seen. Then they go and they see Ridha one of these days. Ridha, what happened? He says that, you know what? I'm not Shia anymore. What? You're not Shia anymore? Yeah, I become a Baha'i. The girls were Baha'is. And because of their akhlaq, and their akhlaq was so wonderful, this guy left the path of Ali ibn Abi Talib and became a Baha'i. Terrible. But it just shows us what can happen if somebody has wonderful akhlaq. Let alone if the soldiers of Imam Mahdi, who are promoting the truth on the right path, have a religion that makes sense, if they have akhlaq. At the same time, you're maintaining your principles, though. At the same time as you're maintaining your principles. So now, some hadith. This first one is from Imam al-Sadiq. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This is the words of the Imam. Kunu du'atan linnas bighayri al-sinatikum. Call the people without using your tongues. Waliyaraw minkum al-wara wal-ijtihad wal-salah wal-khayr fa inna dhalika da'iyah. The Imam says that the people should see from you God-wariness, wara, taqwa. They should see ijtihad, effort in the way of the religion. They should see that. Salah. Not that I'm a Muslim who's ashamed to pray. Sometimes you got Muslims, God forbid, Muslims are afraid to pray in front of others. Sometimes you see it on the airplane, practicing Muslim. No, I can't make salat in front of the non-Muslims. They'll see me. Well, that's the purpose. I'm supposed to see you. Pray right on the side of the road. Let them see you. Islam alive in their face, ready, happy. They should see. And khair, good deeds, kindness. People should see this from you. You should be known for this. Not for riya, God forbid. You're trying to do something to attract others to yourself. No, you're promoting the religion of God. You're a representative. You're one of the soldiers. So he says, for surely these things attract. You saw what happened with the Baha'i girls. Let alone if it was for the right cause. I'll give you an example, a practical example of this. There was Ayatollah Dasghib, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He was like this. In order to punish Ayatollah Dasghib, to like humiliate him or whatever, they put him in a cell with a rabid communist. So you know, for us, they're not just communists. Don't believe in God. Rabid. So they put him in the cell with this individual. And this guy hated religion, hated Ahuns, hated scholars, the whole thing. He didn't like anything. This guy in the cell with Ayatollah Dasghib. Ayatollah Dasghib was somebody. When he would get up, let's say for Salatul Layl, he would wake up and he would see his cellmate is there shivering. His covers have fallen off, for instance. Covering has fallen off in the middle of the night. And he would go over. This guy's sleeping. Nobody's looking. Him and Allah. And he would put the covers over the guy, make sure the guy's comfortable, and he'd go and do his actions. That guy, when he came out of prison, he was like, I don't accept a religion, I don't accept any of these Ruhanis, any of these scholars, none of them, except that Sayyid Ayatollah Dasghib, I accept him, he's a good guy. Without deviating from the principles, but just akhlaq, kindness, especially when people are new to your centers, when you're interacting with others, when others are opposed to what you believe. And again, we're not doing this, like I said it once, I'm going to say it again, not doing it to attract the people, you know, faking it. You know, I'm trying to trick these guys, so I'll fake like I have good akhlaq. Oh, hi, how are you? Sincerely, for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Because Allah wants you to do this. What happens is sometimes we as Muslims don't consider other mu'mineen important. But even for one person to join the right path is important. Hadith now. This one is from Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi. He says, Al-mu'min a'azamu hurmatan min al-ka'ba. The believer is more important in God's eyes than the Ka'ba. Even one believer, if because you're so kind, fair, just, polite, caring, concerned, is attracted to the right way, you've done a huge task. For the sake of Allah, saving one individual is like saving all of mankind. So we want to make sure that we keep this in mind. So akhlaq should be impeccable. From a point of view of akhlaq, just like you just stepped out of a GQ magazine. You just perfect akhlaq, smiling, friendly, ready. Ready to serve, but also we don't want to fall on the other side of neglecting the principles. Sometimes in an effort to have good akhlaq, to be kind, to smile at everybody, then when it comes to the principles of Islam, kind of difficult to be friendly and, but what I'm saying, this is, it's a challenge, but we've got to do it. Without backing down from your principles. This is another hadith, and this is telling us about principles. This is especially good for the soldiers of the Imam. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali. He says, "La yuqimu amr Allah subhanahu illa." He says, "No one can establish the law and the affair of God on the earth, no one can be a soldier of the Mahdi unless man la yusani, the one who doesn't compromise, wa la yudara, is not intimidated by batil, wa la yattabi'u al-matama, and doesn't follow his desires. If you want to be a soldier of the Mahdi, you can't compromise on principles. Back down when something's wrong. You're having good akhlaq to bring the person to the right side. So we have to have the ability to disagree with the person and still be charming about it. But I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to become you. I'm not going to surrender my principles. No, I still believe what I believe, and you believe what you believe. I'm not apologetic for it. But when the person walks away, they're like, you know, I hate that guy, but he's really a good guy. So we're not going to get anywhere by compromising our principles. Again, this is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Tazul al-jibal wa la tazul. Mountains may move, but you don't move. When it comes to principles of Islam, of religion, defending the religion of God, even though others may try and intimidate you, may try and get you to back down, oh, just accept it, it's okay. Leave it, it's not a big deal, everybody's okay. No, everybody's not okay. Everybody's not okay. There's rules, there's laws, there's principles. But yeah, it's okay, we can deal with one another. The hadith, when I'm talking about speaking up for principles, is again from Amir al-Mu'mineen. The people who don't speak up in the time of fitna, who don't guide others, who don't exercise their opinions, who are afraid, they only have that good side of akhlaq, but they don't hold fast when it comes to principles. This is hadith from Imam Ali. As-sakitu akhurradhi. The person who's silent, who doesn't say anything, is the brother of the person who's pleased and radhi. If God forbid a fitna happens, you're supposed to take a side, you're supposed to stand up, you're supposed to be strong. Otherwise, if you're pleased with it, you get the same reward or punishment of those who are involved in it. So you have to take a stance, speak up, but at the same time, impeccable akhlaq. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad. Back to our verse now. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. When Yusuf said to his father, Father, I saw 11 planets and the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrating themselves before me. You know when this dream happened? And again, this is a lesson for us now. This is from Imam Sajjad, salamullah alayhi. He says that Hazrat Yaqub, alayhi salam, used to sacrifice a ram every day. Big family, he's maybe the leader of a tribe or of the whole, maybe the children of Israel at that time, he's a prophet. He would sacrifice a sheep, a ram, every day. He would eat from it, his family would also eat from it, and he would give some of it as sadaqah. Noble prophet of God, taking care of people, and good financial situation. What happened is that there was a servant of Allah. His name was Damyal. And this guy happened to be fasting. He was an abid, like a worshiper of God. He was also fasting and hungry. And he passed by the place of Hazrat Yaqub and he asked for some food. And apparently they maybe thought he wasn't deserving. Nobody answered his call. And that servant of God, after he had fasted all day, went to bed hungry. And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that this is how I was treated. And Allah talked to Hazrat Yaqub. He said that my servant Damyal came by and he was fasting and he was struggling in my way. And he needed food. He was hungry. And you didn't give it to him. So I'm going to do adab of you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. You're going to get a musibah in yourself and in your children. And he said, why? He said that I am quicker. I behave in a more transparent way with my friends than I do with my enemies. Because I like them. This is another one of the things about how Allah deals with us. With believers, and especially the closer we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make a mistake, Allah quickly lets us know. He grabs our ear, no, you did the wrong thing. If He likes you, He does that. If Allah doesn't like you, if you're an enemy of Allah, you can do all kinds of sins. You're like waiting for that punishment to come down, the stone to come from heaven and take you out. Allah's like, no, let him, give him rope, let him hang himself. If Allah likes you, He's very transparent. He sees a mistake that you made very quickly. Allah will come, oh, messed up over there. Now I'm going to give it to you. Because He likes you. So it's not, did he do something haram? No. His family, somebody didn't offer the food to the servant of God. Now the musibah's coming. Be patient. Be ready. It's coming. So after that, and the Rawi says, when the Rawi was asking Imam Sajjad, he said, when did Hazrat Yaqub see that dream? He's like, that same night, Hazrat Yusuf. That same night that happened, then the punishment comes. So we're going to get over there, inshallah, to the actual thing, but let's just take one lesson. Okay, we're not awliya of Allah, that God forbid, you know, some little guy comes over, he's begging, I don't know, I think he's not a deserving person. Inshallah, none of that will happen to us. But sometimes there are deserving believers in our own community. People who are honorable, dignified, and they need help. They're not doing so well financially. And we could help them as soldiers of the Mahdi in an honorable way. Not in a way that we disgrace them. Yes, this is sadaqah on behalf of the center. Any honorable person will reject that in a very nice way. We have to be creative now. How can I help a believer who's struggling and deserving in a way that it preserves the dignity of these individuals? Not that I make them feel bad, show off to others, announce, yes, we are helping. Between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But aren't there individuals who need a little bit of help? Aren't there people we can help in the way of Allah? Okay, we're not like Hazrat Yaqub to say, Damyal, who knows, he was fasting. But with people we know, definite cases of mu'mineen, who we could help out, just in a little bit. There's blessings for doing that, for helping out other believers. See, somebody needs a job, for instance. You've got a place, you know somebody, you can speak to somebody else. Sometimes financial, sometimes other things. Somebody's going through problems with their family, whatever. There's ways of me helping out those other believers, people who are deserving. We want to make sure that we don't neglect that. I'm a soldier of Imam Mahdi. I run roughshod over everybody. God forbid. I'm speaking to myself first, but also to you. So we want to look out for that as a lesson, because that's how the bala descended. But now back to the verse itself. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِعَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ When Yusuf said to his father, Father. I mentioned that Allah Ta'ala gets a lesson from this first part of the verse. He says that one of the things we notice is the love and affection between Hazrat Yaqub and Yusuf. And you'll see it later in the response of Hazrat Yaqub, the love of Hazrat Yaqub for his son. But right now, let's work on the love of us towards our parents. He referred to him as Yaqub. He didn't refer to him as Yaqub. Astaghfirullah. He didn't refer to him as Yaqub. He referred to him as his father. One of the things, now as soldiers of the Imam, how do we deal with our parents? One of the things we're taught to do is not to call our parents by their first name. Yeah, pops, what's up? I'm from the West, I deal. No, we have Islamic principles. They asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. They asked him. They said, "Ma haqqul walid ala waladih?" What's the right of the father, the parent, over the son? Qala la yusammihi bi ismih. Don't call his father by his name. I see a lot of people, my friends, they call their dad Jack. What's up, Jack? I do the same thing. No. ولا يمشي بين يديه. He doesn't walk before his father. Father comes in the majlis, young guy, dad, yeah, find yourself a seat, man. One time that happened in the presence of Imam Khomeini, one of the government ministers, one of these people who had a position, came to see Imam Khomeini, and as a favor to his father, he brought his father along. As a favor to his father. He's an important, let's say, I don't know, minister of what. He comes to the presence of Imam Khomeini, comes in, whatever business, or whatever, official business or whatever, and then he says, by the way, this is my father. He would like to meet you. Imam Khomeini said, that's your father? Yeah? You came in before him? I'm a government minister. Government minister? You Muslim or not a Muslim? Don't walk before, disrespect the dad. We don't have that. وَلَا يَجْلِسْ قَبْلَ. He doesn't even sit before his, make sure his father has a seat. Then sits. Soldiers of the Imam. Okay, so we have to keep our Islamic values even if we're here. We want to witness the return of the Mahdi. We have to hold fast to the values of Quran and Sunnah. The world, what they're saying, the Western world, we grew up over here. I'm from Australia. I was born in Australia. Can I quote Malcolm X again? This is what Malcolm X said. He said, if a cat was born in an oven, would you call it a biscuit? I'm from Australia. Are you a Muslim? You're a Muslim first. Muslim Quranic values. Quranic values, whatever Quran and Sunnah say. We have our own principles when it comes to dealing with parents. Expectations for soldiers of the Mahdi. There's that beautiful verse that Imam Hussein used to recite in the battlefield of Karbala. But I'll just recite the verse. The verse itself is very beautiful. Min al-mu'minin rajal. Amongst the believers there are men. Sadaqu ma'ahad Allah alayh. They fulfill that pledge that they've made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them have fulfilled that pledge. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرُ. There are some who await. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They have not changed in the least. As we await the return of the Mahdi, we stick firm and fast to our principles. We don't back down. We don't change. We don't get intimidated by the batil that's around us. We hold firm. So, one of those principles is the principle of respect and showing respect to those neighbors. And this gives us tawfiq. We're looking for tawfiq because we'd like to become mukhlas, not only mukhlas, but mukhlas, to get to that stage where we can witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've had the good fortune to be in the company of some of the urafa, just briefly. You see people whose hearts are so soft. Let me give you an example, okay, from myself. For me, it's hard to cry in the majalis of Imam Hussein, right? Let alone the majalis of some of the other Ahlul Bayt. You see somebody whose heart is really soft, even when he hears the masayib of other members of the Ahlul Bayt, break down in tears, because they understand the maqam and the position, so much love. I was in the presence of one of these urafa. We started talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He broke down. Started crying, he's controlling him, holding back his tears out of shauq of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we get there? We have to get there by carrying out our responsibilities. And one of them is respecting the parents. Sometimes we respect our parents as children, as young adults. Later when we're parents, it gives us tawfiq for great things. Later on, I want to give you one example from one of the shuhada. His name was Mahdi Zainuddin. I mentioned him yesterday. I'm going to talk a little bit about his childhood. The guy who's relating the story said one time it was one warm summer day. We're a bunch of little kids. Warm, warm summer day. He said we were playing soccer and there was three teams of us playing soccer, right? Sometimes you don't have enough people to make four teams, three teams. So normally when that happens, you have to wait your turn, right? Your ishtiyaq, and you want to play much more, right? Because you know you have to wait your turn and then get in or whatever. He says that we were playing soccer, and was now Mahdi's team. And They were playing. He had the ball. He was running. He was getting into a stage where now he was going to be able to score a goal. He said his mother called him. Mehdi aga, aga Mehdi, noon mikhaim. We don't have bread. We need bread. He said, in the middle of the game, he stopped on a dime, passed the ball to his friend, and walked right off and went and got bread for his mother. From his childhood, he was like that. Then he became Mehdi Zainuddin. We're not waiting to adopt these fada'il later. That later, yeah, when I'm old and gray, then I'll adopt the Islamic principles. No, now, as a soldier of the Mahdi. And these things have tawfiq, even if we want to make tawbah. Let me give you another hadith. Remember the words of the ayat, though. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي. Yusuf said to his father, oh, my father, the respect, the adab. Let me give you one more example. Another example is the idea of being kind and loving to the parents. It gives us tawfiq, and as I mentioned, even if we want to make tawbah, turn back to Allah, we all need to make tawbah. None of us are beyond the concept of tawbah and turning back to God. If we want to make tawbah, this is from Imam Sajjad, salamullah alayhi. He says, a man came to the Prophet, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ma min amalin qabih illa waqad amiltuhu. He said, there is no ugly action, no sin left, except that I have done that. Fahalli min tawbah? Is there a way for me to make tawbah? The Prophet turned to the young man, young, old, whatever. He turned to the man. He said that, are any of your parents alive? He said, yeah, my father is still alive. He told him, go to your father, be kind to him. The young man left. When the young man left, the Prophet said, لو كانت أمه. If only his mother was there. Be kind to everybody. Be kind to your father especially, but especially kind to your mother. Paradise is under the feet of the mothers. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam. So we have to be kind to our parents, loving to our parents, respectful to our parents, listening to our parents. And if we do that, we're taught in the hadith, our children will deal with us in that way. This is from Imam Sadiq. He says, Barru aba'akum yabarrakum abna'ukum. You be kind to your parents, you show respect to them, you treat them properly, your children will do the same to you. So when it comes to the rights of the parents that our parents have over us, then one of them is sometimes our parents have missed prayers. We want to make sure that we make up those prayers for them if we can. Sometimes even hire someone to pray for them if we can. Make hajj for them. Give sadaqah on their behalf. Even we have in hadith, honoring their friends. Because what happens is, in one hadith, it's mentioned that sometimes you may have been righteous to your parents when they were alive, and then when they die, now you become aq of your walidain. They still have rights over you even after you die. So, one of the ways we can make up for that is by doing these good actions on their behalf. And your parents benefit, they receive those things. You can do a lot of good for them. So, and you get the tawfiq also. Like if you do, let's say I give in sadaqah for my parents, I also get the reward. It's not like, oh, I just, you know, left, I lost it, you know. $50, you know, down the drain. No. First of all, your parents benefit, but then secondly, you benefit. So, I want to give another example of that respect of the parents, and then one more issue. This is again from one of the shuhada. This brother, his name was Ali Sharifi. He had the tawfiq of shahada when he was a youth. So his dad, apparently his dad's telling the story. He says that this Ali was always, from the time, he said, we didn't have any complaints about him. He said, whenever I would come home, he would stop whatever he was doing. He was playing sports, whatever. Father came home, he would go over, salams to the father, very respectfully. And instead of just going on, continuing the game, he would go to the house, give them information. Dad's home. So This would happen every day, no matter how many times I came home. That stopping, respect, adab, salams, father, you okay, everything? He says that this would, even to the extent that the kids in the neighborhood would were impressed, how differently this soldier of the imam treated his parents. So one last lesson about parents, and then we'll go on, inshallah, to Karbala. This one is now, we'll go back to our verse. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. When Yusuf said to his father, Father, I saw 11 planets, and the sun and the moon, I saw them prostrating themselves before me. Hazrat Yusuf, according to our ahadith, was either 7 or 9. Very young. One thing that strikes you, one lesson that we can remind ourselves of, is being mature. Maturity. Hazrat Yusuf is this young, at this age, having a very intelligent conversation with his father. Sometimes when we grow up here in the West, we're not trained to be responsible. Sometimes the current culture doesn't encourage me to take responsibility for my own life, to have certain life skills. All about my Xbox and taking care of my needs and relax, sometimes even for practicing believers. But the idea of being responsible, helping out with the family, looking out for others, taking charge of my own affairs, sometimes even after school, sometimes even after marriage. Sometimes part of the reasons that marriages fall apart is that people are just so immature about things. Not used to having patience. Everything in this culture is just immediate gratification. A little hardship, a little difficulty. Oh, I can't take that. Ready to, no, I'm getting divorced. I'm walking away from it. Any sort of difficulty, you need to be a little bit mature, to have certain life skills, to learn to save money from beforehand, take care of our own affairs, help out, even if we're making a little bit of money, working a part-time job, come home, give your mom a little money. This is for you, mom. Oh, you know, I don't need it. Your dad has plenty. I'm trying to do it for you. This is for you. A little bit of responsibility for our brothers and our sisters. One last example from one of the shuhada. This brother, again, about maturity. His name was Asadullah Kashmiri. His parents were explaining, they said in the story that when he was really small, we didn't have money, we weren't very rich, and his school was far away from the house. So what we did was, in those days, we used to give him, in Farsi they say, 12 riyal. Tiny amount of money, so he can catch a cab, have some money to spend at school, to buy a little lunch or whatever like that. So we would give it that. And his friends would do the same thing. They'd have to catch a cab to go to school. Wasn't anything special, but we didn't have much money. They said what happens with Asadullah was that we started noticing that he left for school an hour early. So he left for school a little earlier than school began. And we didn't know why, but we're just seeing that he's going to school a little bit early. He said, until, and this is what gives people the tawfiq for shahada in the way of Allah, until his little sister fell ill. And I mentioned they didn't have much money. They, looking around the house, we don't have money, the little girl needs to go to the hospital or whatever, get some money or whatever, and the family doesn't have money. Asadullah goes into a room and comes back, a little bit changed. He's like, I was saving for such a day. Maturity. Not that he was saving it to worship money greedy. I was saving it. I would go take care of my needs, do my responsibilities, do all of those things. But then instead of favoring myself with the taxi, I'd give myself a little hardship. I know the family's going through difficulties. If I can help out, then you get that tawfiq of shahada. Now we'd like to go to Karbala.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Tonight we'd like to remember a young man whose father was killed in the plains of Karbala. We'd like to show respect to our own fathers and mothers and prepare for the return of the Mahdi. I'm talking about Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zainul Abidin. The Imam's difficulty was very great. The Imam knows that his father is out there. His father is almost 60 years old. He hears the call of his father, Al-Min Nasirin Yansuruni. Is there anyone there to help us? But Allah had decreed that the Imam should be sick. The Imam would not be able to participate in the battle. The Imam had to suffer with his father and witness all of those masaib. The father is out there fighting alone. And the Imam knows what's going on. Imam Zainul Abidin knows what's going on. When his father gets weak and is not able to fight, and they start to throw stones at his father. When his father says, there's no one who's the son of the daughter of the Prophet of Allah on the earth but me. And they shoot an arrow into the heart of his father. His father tries to take the arrow out and can't and has to push it through. And blood is jetting out of his father. And the Imam realizes all of this. It's terrible when you can't defend your father. It's even worse when your father and his family are humiliated in front of you. The Imam waited until he had to, until the enemy defeated the father, until they came and the women came out of the tent and went running towards the battlefield. There's nothing like having ghaira and wanting to defend your family and your father and not being able to. What more of a musibah to hear your aunt saying, Wa Muhammad sallallahu alayka malika sama hadha husaynun bil ara murammalun bid dima muqatta'ul a'dha. This is Hussein in the desert, covered in blood. His limbs have been severed. How much pain it must have been for the Imam to hear them say, to strip the body of his father naked and not to be able to do anything. How much pain there must have been for the Imam to hear them call for horses to run over the body of his father. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa Ali ibn al-Husayn wa awlad al-Husayn wa ashab al-Husayn. We ask that Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect all of us, guide us, protect our maraji, and especially the leader, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Ilahi.